Hey everybody, this is B. Jamine, aka The Terrible Australian, and welcome to another special audio review edition of our For Supermarcy.com. And with me, as always, is my lovely co-host on the Super Podcast, Super Marcy. Hello, Marcy, how are you?
Hey, I'm not too bad. How's it going?
Oh, not too bad, not too bad. Just been a bit busy as of late, Marcy, but you know that, especially because you know, it's horror month and I've been watching tons of horror movies. So
yeah, I haven't had much of a chance, but I'm hoping next few days I can catch up on quite a few. And yeah,
that's
see how it goes.
Yeah, well, luckily the fatigue hasn't set in yet. So, but it is I am behind on a few though, mainly because I've had fit a few around some other things that were happening in my life as of late. So, but I'm slowly getting there, Marcy.
Like the day you spent having to trim your beard.
Yeah, well, Marcy, it takes at least about 10 to 12 hours just to trim my beard because there's just so much to cut and it has to be all neat and stuff. So
yeah, you cut one like hair at a time.
Exactly. It has to be done at least one strand at a time. So
yeah.
But we're not here to talk about beards and how we trim them. We're here today because we are doing a audio review for the brand new Robert Zemeckis film, The Walk, which of course
3D
in 3D because we saw the 3D version. And
yeah.
And for those out there who don't know what The Walk about, The Walk. I just see what I just did then. But what The Walk is about, it's based on a true story, and the plot synopsis from IMDb reads: In 1974, high wire artist Philippe Petit recruits a team of people to help him realize his dream to walk the immense void between the World Trade Center towers. Now, if the story sounds vaguely familiar to our listeners out there, is that this real-life event was also the basis for the Oscar-winning 2005 documentary Man on Wire. So this is more of the kind of the narrative sort of fictional version of that story. And, of course, that was co-written and directed by Robert Zemeckis. And in the role of Philippe Petit, you've got Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And, Marcy, tell us your thoughts on The Walk.
Before seeing the movie, I actually had not seen the documentary, but I have seen it now. and after watching it, I actually realized, like, the movie is pretty much just like the doco in a film version.
Yeah, it's like the doco, but with actors playing the real-life people.
Yeah, it pretty much goes through, like, almost everything they did. There's a few things left out, and I think they sort of maybe they combined characters just so there weren't too many to kind of concentrate on. But even with, like, in the movie, and it sort of, sort of took me quite a bit to get used to it, where we have...
Sorry, Marcy, not to interrupt again. I think there was, like, a music coming from somewhere on my computer that just went off just then.
I didn't hear anything.
That's the thing. I'm not sure if my recording recorded or not. So can you just go back to where you were saying about what I asked you, what you thought of the movie, just from there? Because
Okay. Before watching the movie, I had not seen the documentary. Mm-hmm. However, since seeing the movie, I have seen the documentary, and it is pretty much the documentary, but just acted out with actual actors.
Yes, exactly.
There's some things that they sort of cut out of the movie. Obviously, it must have been for time. And I think some of the real life people were either left out or maybe combined into characters in the movie just so there weren't as many characters to, like, follow. What kind of threw me in this is the whole thing is like narrated with Joseph Gordon-Levitt on top of the Statue of Liberty, and he like talks to the screen.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the same or similar things that Philippe Petit says in the documentary. So they are like really, really similar, but I just found it so weird that he's there narrating the story like as we see him. And I think it's kind of funny, like, in the first, I don't know, 5-10 minutes, every, like, French stereotype you can think of was shown.
Yeah.
And even watching the doco, like, yeah, he did a lot of this stuff, and things have unraveled in the film pretty much as he has described it. So, yeah, it is quite whimsical in a way. And I guess, that, you know, it's done because the real guy is quite eccentric. He's very, like, charismatic and
larger than life.
And, you know, he's quite a likable guy. So, yeah, they're very similar. And it's just, you know, I think whereas in the doco, you don't actually get to see a lot of footage of him doing the walks, or in this, they really recreated it so you could feel like you're there. And I think that's what's really beneficial with the 3D. It is a film that was definitely meant for 3D. They do a lot of little gimmicks and things, and it's definitely supposed to make you feel like you're right there. I mean, to me, I don't know if we really got to really know the main character or real man with Philippe. I really didn't understand, like, why he wanted to do these things other than he just felt the urge to do it. I don't know. It just felt like, you know, if you look at it as a character, there wasn't a lot that they really developed. And the same really goes for the relationships with the people. It's just like, oh, yeah, well, they're on board now.
Hmm.
Whereas with Jean-Louis, as you find out in the documentary, it's a childhood friend in the film. It's like they just meet each other randomly one day and he's on board with it straight away. It's like, okay. you could have had a lot more with the characters and more backstory, because I'm just there like, I really understand why he's doing this at all. And I think in the film, in the doco, you kind of at least get some hints about it and seeing, like, the kind of person that he is.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I necessarily agree that Joseph Gordon-Levitt's the right guy. He looks nothing like the young Philippe Petit, whereas some of the other guys kind of resemble who they're supposed to be.
Yep.
You know, I would have thought, like, if you look at the guy back in the 70s, he looked like Malcolm McDowell in the 70s. And I'm sure there's an actor that's really good that could have, like, played him. Like, I could imagine, like, an Anton Yelchin or something, even though he's not French, but
yeah, I can see,
you know,
that
he's kind of got that look, and I think he can play eccentric. So yeah, I did kind of have my issues, but at the same time, it is you know, it is enjoyable, and a lot of the stuff, it gets quite intense. It's like a heist movie without a heist. And you're kind of, like, thinking, you know, if someone was doing this in this day and age, they would have thought they were a terrorist.
Exactly.
You know, he just easy access into everything. And
yeah. I think I was during the movie, I said to you a bunch of times, like, Marcy, that would never – I would say, lean over to you and say, Marcy, that would never happen today.
That would never, ever happen today, ever. But as well as being the story about this guy and something absolutely crazy he pulled off, and it's just so – if you didn't know it was true, you'd be like, yeah, as if the fuck that happened. But, you know, it really, really did. And it's just like, wow. That, you know, this guy actually pulled it off and did that, and he walked across.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive that, you know, something that he actually managed to do. Yeah. And, yeah, it's quite incredible, like, to imagine, and you can't, you know, you couldn't really think, like, how, what would you think when that happened? Imagine watching someone do that. And I think what I actually would have really loved to have seen in the movie, and maybe they had shot it but just cut it out, but it's in the doco, is when he did the walk across the Harbour Bridge.
Completely forgot about that from the
doc. Yeah, and there was actually, like, an Aussie guy that was involved from there, but also with the New York stuff, and he was left out completely. So I don't know if that's something they'd considered or but I thought that could have been interesting. Because, yeah, you know, both are fresh in my mind. But, yeah, they're definitely real, you know, interesting stuff. But I think there's certain things I would have changed about it. But when it comes down to, you know, that third act, it's pretty intense. It's really watchable. It's very nerve-wracking as well, even though you kind of know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, with the 3D being there, it's like, oh, shoot, you know, what's going to happen? Mm. Yeah, I'm just rambling on. So, Speed, how about you?
I'm pretty much in the same boat as you. Like, I remember seeing the Docker. I should say that I did make a mistake before. I thought the Docker came out in 2005, but I was wrong. It was 2008.
I think it's 2008,
yeah. So I apologize for that. But, yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. Like, I think if you've seen the doco, this movie's not going to really add anything that you didn't already know before. But I think if anyone who hasn't seen it will definitely enjoy it a lot. And I do agree that the first half of the film definitely with all the sort of like like Robert Zemeckis goes all out with the French angle, showing us pretty much every kind of French element and stereotype you can think of. And in a way, like, usually that would bother me, but I think at the same time, the way how that first half was handled, like with, you know, Philippe's kind of narration, you know, with him on the Eiffel Tower and I mean, not the Eiffel Tower, the Statue of Liberty.
Being a bit confused.
Yes,
there,
I'm confused now. Because all got, but you know, on the Statue of Liberty and all that, it does, like you say, give sort of that film that kind of whimsical kind of vibe, and it kind of, in a way, reminded me of like how Robert Zemeckis approached Forrest Gump, because he kind of did the same thing, even though it's set in the real world, but it has kind of like this fairy tale element to it. But and also as the film goes along, as you say, it becomes more of a lost movie, which I did really enjoy. And of course, it really is the build up to the actual walk, and it's a great sequence, and it's one that I think if anyone wants to, is sort of umming and ahhing about seeing the film on the big screen, should see it just for that sequence alone. And because you and I, we both saw it on the big screen and in 3D, and I think the 3D really added a lot to that sequence.
Yeah, I think it did. We were both sort of suffering a bit of, like,
vertigo.
I don't know, motion sickness, vertigo, going, oh, my God.
But and it's weird, though, because you know for a fact, like, everything in that scene is all CGI, but it's just the way...
It's done really well.
Yeah, and also, you know, Robert Zemeckis knows how to handle 3D to kind of make you feel very... immersed into that world, so and it's not like, yeah, you'll have the things flying at the camera and stuff like that, but it's more about that sort of like how it's certain shot at certain angles and all that to sort of make you feel that sort of like you're actually there, and like I say, make you feel immersed into that world. And Joseph Gordon-Levitt, he definitely has a very outrageous French accent.
Yeah,
I think we kind of joked about that a lot during the course of the movie.
Yeah, we were.
And I think at one point I saw his accent's like Pepe Le Pew. but at the same time though, yeah, but he does bring a lot of likability and charisma to the role, and you can't help but, you know, kind of get swept up into.
I mean, you know, he's a great actor. There's no doubt about that. Hmm.
And like, even though you're not sure why his character wants to do it, but you kind of just go along with it anyway because the character is just so charismatic as well, and you kind of want to see at least in, like, how are they going to pull it off? And I think we kind of know how it is in the doco, like, but I think people who don't even know the story or anything like that, I think they're going to get like a lot out of it in that regard. And also, like, the ending of the film definitely does, I can see some people sort of accusing it of being a bit sentimental, but it, at the same time, it kind of does add a bit of poignancy, because we all know what did happen with the two towers.
Yeah, in a way, it's almost like a love letter to the towers that, you know, since that year, you know, since they were built, they were like the big icon for New York City. And, you know, I think that what Philippe did really made people, I think, love having them there, and that there was a special story to be told with them. But, you know, seeing the movie, seeing them there, it's like, you know, it's been, 14 years since they went down. And you just kind of really, really, like, realize how missed that scene is with New York.
Yeah.
But I think it is a really sweet kind of tribute to them. And, yeah, it is kind of a sad reminder of what happened as well.
Hmm. But at the same time, though, it's kind of hard not to at least kind of, even though they don't outright directly say what happens to them, but you can get, but they still,
yeah.
But they kind of put that sort of poignancy there, and also give hints of, you know, as well. So I think the ending is quite nice, and it, like you say, it does give a tribute to the towers. But in a way, I think it's a really enjoyable film. Like, do I think it's necessary? Probably not, mainly because, you know, the doco kind of already covered.
Yeah, I think so. When you've got a doco and a film, the doco, usually it can be quite different, but in this case, it is really, really similar.
Mm.
So I think that slightly disappointing. It would have been cool if they kind of did something a bit different, but I could, at the same time, I kind of understand that they felt it was a bit more whimsical, and especially towards the actual guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of like that as well.
Yeah. And of course, like, technically, I think the cinematography by Darius Wolski was really good.
Yeah, no, it was.
And great score once again by Alan Silvestri, and and it's also really well directed as well. So I think it's a really, like, even though I don't think, like, yeah, I mean, if you've seen the doco, you've already know the story, but at the same time, I still did enjoy it.
I mean, I would say it's definitely a step up from Flight, which is a movie that really kind of, you know, had me, and I thought the whole issue with him, how he was, you know, an alcoholic and a drug addict, but then it kind of lost me when it almost condoned what he was doing.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think at least a step up there.
Yeah, I think this movie is a massive step up from Flight.
Yeah, and
I think
I'll never complain about having James Badgerdale show up in a movie.
Of course.
Especially with that awesome, like, 70s look.
He should have that look in every movie, Marcy.
Yeah, and I quite liked that really cute guy that I think he played Jeff.
Yeah.
Who, I don't know, he could say numbers in English and kind of understand English, and then he's, like, scared of heights, and he had to go on the side of, at the top of the building.
Yeah.
And he was pretty adorable.
I think I said to you, he's like the audience surrogate for in this movie.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I'd be crapping my pants too. But I'm going to go up like one flight of stairs, let alone the top of the building. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought the supporting cast really good. Of course, you know, Ben Kingsley was there as well. And, you know, he's always fun to watch. And but yeah, I did, like I said, I did enjoy the film overall. Like, is it necessary? Probably not, but especially with the doco, but I did enjoy it. But I would say it's worth a watch. I mean, but I would say if you're gonna check it out, definitely see it on the big screens.
Yeah. What's your rating?
I give it about 3.5.
I think I'm kind of leaning towards 3.
Yeah.
But I guess 3.5, extra half being that it's actually something that's really worthwhile in 3D.
Yeah, I'd say that. Like, half the star would be for the 3D. So
yeah, so 3.5. Yeah.
Alrighty. I hope all of our listeners enjoyed this audio review of The Walk. It's playing around Australia at the moment, so go check it out if you're interested. And we'll see you. Oh wait, but before we go, Marcy, where can people find you on the internet this week?
Just go to twitter.com/supermarcy or facebook.com/sm.com/superpodcast.
Cool. And anyone who wants to follow me and make and tease me and call me terrible or whatnot can find me at my Twitter page at twitter.com/bejamine or my Facebook page at facebook.com/bejamine or my fan page at facebook.com/terrible Australian. Sorry, terrible Aussie. See, I'm mucking this up as I go.
Yeah.
And, of course, my weekly writings at supermarcy.com. So we hope you all enjoyed this review, and we'll see you all later. See you, everyone.
Yep, catch you later, guys.
Bye.